Greetings, it's Brother Steve again with the Daily Inspiration for the 18th. We have here looking again at 2 Peter. We talked about yesterday about that precious faith that Peter talks about. And we talked about the grace and the peace that is multiplied to us through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now we're going to start in verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. There he again talks about something that we received through the knowledge of him. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So what does he mean by this all things that pertain unto life and godliness? reminded also of 1 Peter chapter 1. It talks about, let's see, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto them, not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that are have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now we have here, first he says that the prophets searched diligently. Okay, let's see, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. The prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And then he also says that the angels desired to look into it. So what was this grace? What was this thing that was going to come? And I'm also reminded of Hebrews chapter 1, where it says that God, who in sundry times, verse 1, and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So there he's talking about how in time past God spoke to us through the prophets. But it says here in 1 Peter that the prophets searched. They inquired diligently, inquired and searched diligently about this grace. And they had only a vague idea. God gave them little glimpses of it, but only a vague idea of what it really was. And then it even talks about how the angels desired to see it. But then he says there in Hebrews 1 that in these last days he has given us his Son, which is express image of his person. He's just like he's just like God. He is God. He is the Son of God. And so he has God's nature. And so he showed us through his Son how we ought to live. And so the prophets had kind of a vague idea of what God was like, and they told the people what they saw. But when Jesus came, he was just like God. And he walked this earth, and he showed us how to live. So now we have an example of how we ought to live. But then there's that grace too. I also reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says that talking about the prophets searching this out and not knowing, not being revealed to them. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And so we have this mystery that he keeps talking about, and this is the mystery of grace. This is that grace that the prophets circulated about, wanting to know what it was like and how this was going to play out. And it says, verse 8, again, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So if God would have revealed it to the prophets at that time, or to anybody, the devils would have gotten a hold of that information, and they would have, in a sense, thwarted the plan. But so it remained a mystery until it unfolded in Jesus' time when he was resurrected from the dead. And thus, God, in a sense, tricked the devil into playing right into his plan and allowing him to crucify the Lord of glory, and that he could be raised up again the third day. And it says, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And again, he's talking about, when you read this, he is talking about a prophecy in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 64, that he's talking about, where this is repeated, where this comes from. And so if we go back to Isaiah 64, Isaiah 64 and verse 4 is where that prophecy is. For since the beginning of time, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them, for him that waiteth for him. And so that's the prophecy that he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But oftentimes we want to stop there, where he says, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 10, it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so here he's saying that God has revealed these things. So what he's talking about here, again, the things that nobody has seen before, are basically the things that pertain unto this grace that God would give to his people in the last days. But then he says that this is what he has now revealed to us through Jesus. And that is that grace that was hidden from the beginning of the world. And so when we think about, you know, what we have that pertains to life and godliness, we have the Word of God, so we have God's instruction to start with. We have the example of Jesus, as it says in Hebrews chapter 1, which was not available before this time, you know, in the Old Testament. And then all of that would be of no avail if it wouldn't be for one more thing, and that's the Holy Ghost. Or, as we go on here, it talks about the second, again, going back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we just read about how he had given all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So he has called us to this glory and this virtue, this moral excellence that he has called us to. And he says, whereby, verse 4, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So here's the secret. We have become partakers of the divine nature. And so that's the missing link that was not available in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, they had the law. They had a certain sense in what was right and wrong. They had no example, as we have today in Jesus. But here's the missing link. that didn't have, they weren't partakers of the divine nature. Here in the new covenant, we become a partaker of the divine nature. And thus, that divine nature begins to work its way out in the way that we live and the deeds that we do and the things, the way we live our life. So that's that secret, that's that mystery that was hidden from the beginning of the world. And then also, let's go back to 1 Peter a little bit. Verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And in verse 3 he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That begotten, that is the same as being born again. Begotten is the same word that's used when a son is begotten by his father. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And that's here. God has begotten us. He has given us new life. We are born again by the Spirit of God. And thus we become a partaker of that divine nature because we are now sons and not just servants. And verse 4 it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. So there it is. You know, we are called, as it says here, to glory and virtue, but it only happens through us being the partaker of that divine nature. We in our old man, we are sinful to the core, and we do not have the ability to change ourselves or even to do anything, but everything we do is selfish. Even some of the seemingly good things that people do are done for selfish motive. They want to be seen, as Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. He says they have already received their reward, but you give your alms in secret. You do things and you don't do things to be seen by men, but you know, it's the working out of that divine nature within us. And so that's the promise of God that he's talking about here, that he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that glory and virtue. So we're going to end here this morning, and we'll continue in 1 Peter or 2 Peter. Verse 4, I guess it is. We'll continue in